Good evening. Making sure. I can go in there a little bit louder. That'd be all right. This evening, if you have your New Testaments, you'd like to open them up to the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. This morning, I hope, was a lesson that was very, hopefully, well brought and insightful to help make you think about this time of the year in which we live. Tonight is specifically about maybe making it a little bit more thoughtful of the things that we go through on a daily life and our daily existence as we live our life. The Gospel of John, Jesus is in the 8th chapter. He is forgiven the woman that had been caught in adultery, and then he starts teaching to the Pharisees and those that are round about as this situation is transpired. And when he gets over to verse 32, is one of the more well-known verses of Jesus' teaching, said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And at that point of John, the 8th chapter, Jesus starts going back and forth with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, religious teachers of the law. And what I'd like for us to look at this evening is found over in verse 43 and 44. Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie. And when he does so, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." As you look through Scripture, and tonight's lesson will be about the lies that Satan tells. As you look through Scripture, you can see where many times, and here most forthrightly, Jesus puts Satan where he belongs, as an accuser, as a liar toward God's people. It's been so from the Garden of Eden, when he told a lie to Adam and Eve and convinced them to eat of the forbidden fruit. It is so even today. Satan has always tempted people, and part of his temptation that he gives us is not even the truth, but he makes the temptation up as a lie. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Well, how has he blinded their eyes? How has he blinded their minds? How can they not see the spiritual truth? And Jesus contrasts them here very easily for us to see. He says, "I speak the truth, but Satan speaks the lie. And if the truth shall set us free, what is it Satan wants to keep from us, and why does he want us to keep believing the lies that he tells?" He wants to keep those lies that he tells. He wants them first and foremost in our life so we don't understand specifically all the good things that God has prepared for each and every one of us. The lies that Satan tells. And it's interesting to note that as we go through this, and have 4 points today, tonight, because I owe you some time. Okay? When you're up here, you cannot see that clock in the back. Amen. Hello, all. You cannot see that clock in the back. When I walked down this morning and it was 11:25, I thought, "Oh my goodness, really? I didn't think I could speak that long." I put in a cough drop. I checked and made sure it's a cough drop, not a button. But anyway, tonight there are 4 lies that Satan tells. And Satan tells us these lies because he wants us to believe them, because he knows if we believe these lies, he can blind our mind to the spiritual truth that God wants us to see throughout his word and even in our own life. One of the lies that he tells And there are four fears that are with us. But the basic lie that he tells us is that our worth, what we are, our value to others or to the kingdom or to God is based on our performance plus what other people think about us. There's a reason that youth ministers deal with peer pressure with young kids or with teenagers. And the reason is because that's the very first time that they understand that what other people say and think about them is somewhat important in their life, but it's not overly important, because the thing that matters in someone's life is what God thinks about them, not what others think about them. But Satan uses four lies to get us to look at our worth or our value to bring us down. And the very first lie he tells, he says, those who fail are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished. And we live our life in a fear of punishment. Those who fail or are not successful are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished. Well, where did that lie come from? Well, that lie has been around since the Garden of Eden. Because once Eve ate of the fruit and gave it to Adam and he ate as well, that thought process has been with us. Because if Eve and Adam had a thought of themselves that they were worthy of the fellowship and having fellowship with God, they wouldn't have believed the lie that Satan told them. And the lie that he told them in the garden is the same lie that he tells us today. The lie he tells us, he says, if you're not successful in the sight of others, and this is where others' opinions come in, if you're not successful in the eyes of others, then you're unworthy of love. And people buy the lie. Another lie he tells, he says that we must meet certain standards to feel good about ourselves. And if I don't, I am a failure. That lie is prevalent today, specifically in our society, because of everything, all the possessions that we have. You know, if I have more possessions, I'm successful. And I can feel good about myself. I can go to work, I have a job, I can make money, I can buy possessions, and I can feel good about myself. I can do whatever I so desire. I can go on any vacation that I want to. I can do whatever I want. Therefore, I can feel good about myself because I am successful. So I don't have that fear of failure. And notice what he gives us, the lies he gives us. A fear of punishment, a fear of failure. Third lie. See, I told you I was going to get time back tonight. Okay. I can go to midnight. Don't matter to me. Church down at Coleman Street a couple of weeks ago, one of the things I asked Bonnie, said, is he long-winded like Calvin? And Bonnie said, the more you say amen, the longer he's going to go. And I said, amen. I must be approved. The third lie, fear of rejection. I must be approved or I must be accepted by certain people to feel good about myself. And if not, I'm not approved. I'm not worthy of what other people think about me. In other words, if I don't have Danny's approval in what I do in my life, then I'm not successful. I'm rejected by him. And because I want to please him and please other people, sorry for the voice, please him and please other people, you see what has transpired? Instead of pleasing God, first and foremost, Satan gets us to buy a lie so that we'll want to please others foremost and make God secondary. You have a fear of rejection if you buy that. Fourthly and lastly, the Popeye lie. I am what I am. I cannot change. And therefore, it's hopeless for me to change. For those of you who know me a long time, you might think I might fit in this category. I am what I am, and I cannot change.
therefore it's hopeless. And if you buy that lie of Satan, and he's selling them, he's selling the fear of punishment, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, and the fear of shame. He's selling them. And if we buy that lie, that is the most important one for us not to buy. Because for us, we are not hopeless. We can change by God's graciousness. We can be something better than what we are. Yes, we should only be what we desire ourselves to be, but what should we desire to be? We should desire to be a servant of God, a follower of Jesus. And for me to be a servant of God or follower of Jesus, I have to change. I can't go out and drink 24 beers and sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. You know, I cannot live not soberly. I have to live sensibly. I have to live in accordance of God's word. So Satan sells us the lies of the four fears. He sells us the fear of punishment, or the propensity to punish others. He sells us the fear of failure. He sells us the fear of rejection. And lastly, he sells us the most maybe important one, the fear of shame. Paul wrote Timothy as a young minister. And he tells Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but one of power. Don't lose those words when you understand Satan's lies. Because what Paul's telling Timothy there, in accordance with our lesson today, is Satan has lies that he's going to sell. And some of those lies are that, Timothy, you're a young man. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to look down upon you because you're a young man. What does Paul say right before that? He says, look, let no one look down on you because of your age, but yet be an example to those who believe. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but one of power and grace. Because Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood that Satan was selling lies. And one of the lies that he sells us is fear. And it doesn't matter if it's fear of failure, fear of rejection, shame. Doesn't matter what the fear is, he's selling them. Because he knows if he can get us to buy that fear, he's got us. He's blinded our minds to spiritual truths. And we buy the lie instead of buying the truth. It'd be wonderful if we just knew about the fears, the lies of Satan. But God's word has not left us to just understanding about the lies of Satan. In fact, as Jesus says in 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So what does God say about these fears? The fear of punishment, the fear of rejection, these fears. If you would, please turn over to 1 John, the 4th chapter. What does he say about the fear of punishment? And as a parent, we all understand the fear of punishment. We understand at times that we need to know that fear in certain areas is a good thing. Because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. But that's fear of God, not fear of others. Not fear of rejection. Not fear of punishment. Not fear of shame. What does God say about our worth? In the Genesis account, and I don't know, I always had a good time with when I was teaching kids in school about this. God said to himself, self, let us make man in our image. If mankind, I didn't say man or woman, I said mankind. If mankind is made in the image of God, then humanity has value and worth, not because of anything that we do, not because we're successful, not because others accept us, not because we're able to do certain things, not because we're successful in the eyes of the world, excuse me, but we're successful and we have value and worth because we're made in God's image. We have value and worth because of what God says about us. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. By this, the love of God was manifested, because God is love, was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. So how do we know we have value and worth? We have value and worth because Jesus came to this earth, because Jesus ministered in this earth, and because Jesus died for our sins. That's why we have value and worth. That's why we have value and worth in God's sight. Because Jesus came and Jesus died in our place or in our stead. What about some of the other fears? What about the fear of failure? What about the fear of failure? Over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, says, God made Him who knew no sin to become sin, or to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, as God sent His Son into this world to die as a propitiation or in our stead for our sins, that love of God gives us value and worth. I don't have to try and please Danny or my wife or anyone else, because I have intrinsic value in and of myself, because I'm part of mankind that God has made in His image. And He says, you have value and worth. And not only do you have value and worth, I'm going to love you when you're unlovely and you're unlovable. And I'm going to prove that love to you and prove your worth to you, that I'm going to send my Son. God made Him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I'm deeply loved by God. I am completely forgiven by God. What about the other two fears? Over in Colossians, the 1st chapter, and I don't have this one marked, so it may take me a minute or two to get there. In Colossians, the 1st chapter, I don't need to worry about the fear of rejection any more than I need to do the fear of punishment, because God has seen to the punishment that I rightly deserve, that Jesus gave His life as a propitiation. So I don't need to live in fear of the punishment. God has given us propitiation. He's given us justification. And in Colossians, the 1st chapter, verses 19 through 22, Paul says, it was for the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ, or to dwell in Him, and that through Him, Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, His propitiation. Through Him, I say, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven. And although you were formerly alienated or hostile or unrighteous in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet Jesus has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before God, or Him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. You see, I don't have to worry about the fear of rejection. I don't have to worry about that others might reject me, because God, through Jesus Christ, has accepted me. He's reconciled me. He's accepted me when I was unacceptable, because we make the choice in our lives on a daily basis whether we want to be obedient to God, whether we want to be part of that reconciliation. God has made the first step, and He showed His love to us. He wants us out of Satan's lies. He wants not just us, he wants the whole world to quit buying Satan's lies. And Satan is still selling them on every street corner. He's selling them on cable TV and the internet 24/7. And people, bless their hearts, are buying them. And only God's truth can set them free. I don't need to be worried about being rejected by others, because the one God has reconciled me through the propitiation of Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about the fear of punishment. I don't have to worry about the fear of success or failure. I don't have to worry about the fear of rejection. Most importantly, I don't have to worry about the fear of shame. Once again, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, there's propitiation, there's justification, there's reconciliation, and lastly, the last truth of God's truth is regeneration. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And the old things, notice what Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The old things are passed away. He does not say that evilness, that unrighteousness, that shame of sin did not exist. It does exist. But what does he say? He says, if you're in Christ, if you've become part of the reconciliation and the reconciled to God, those former things, those old things, are passed away. And what has come? New things. New life. New acceptance. A new way to live. A way to live in truth. A way to live in light. A way to understand the life in which we live now is a shadow of the life that is to come for a Christian. Satan has his lies. He does. Jesus said he does. But God has his truth. And thank God for that truth. Because that's where we started, is where we'll end. God's truth can set each and every one of us free. And not just us, but the world to which Jesus was sent to. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for this day. We're thankful to you for the blessings of life. We're thankful to you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your sacrifice of your Son, your sending him and his love on our behalf when we were unlovely and unrighteous in your sight. We're thankful for the forgiveness that we can have through him, so that we don't have to live in fear that this world lives in. But we can live confidence and come boldly before your throne and ask the things that are necessary as a follower of your Son and his disciple. Father, we pray this hour that these words will touch each and every one of us as we live our life and help us to touch others, that the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they might be able to see the life-giving news of the story of your Son and your love. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I know this morning Chris made the announcement about Mr. Harlow. He's someone here, I guess, I don't think when Jim came, he ever came, but don't remember just his family, but also remember Jim, because he was active in the Cameroon project that Jim Corner's in. He'd been to Cameroon 2 or 3 times with Jim, and I know that he was very, very helpful to Jim, because he had the ability to have time to be able to help Jim do the things that he wanted to do. You know, one of the things about living a Christian life, as we come to a conclusion, close of the lesson or invitation, whatever you want, as Terry's picked the invitation songs, Trust and Obey, is I think it's very important for each and every one of us to understand that God's grace and his mercy is here with us. But we have the ability not just to accept it,
but to share. We have the free will to choose whether or not we're going to buy the truth that God gives us, or we're going to buy the lie that Satan gives out. And he gives out plenty of them. Mr. Harlow was my boss for about 5 years, and he was an elder in the church for about 25 out at Albany, where he was a school superintendent. And usually about one day every other week, he would go into the high school chapel, and he'd do high school chapel for the kids. And he's very good. But the thing that kind of set him apart from other administrators, people that I work for, is that here's the head of school. And if you went to the kids that were in Marilyn and John's class when he was there, and they were like in second and third grade, something along those lines, Mr. Harlow showed up every day at I don't know what time. And over at the elementary school, the very first person that they saw that opened the door for them to get out to go to school was Terry, Mr. Harlow. He made a choice in his life that he was going to serve others. And I think that's important, because each and every one of us have the free will to make that same designation in our life. And if you ask the kids that are freshmen and sophomores now who their favorite school administrator was the entire time that they've been in school, without, I'd say Mr. Harlow gets about a 95%. I remember some days he would go over there and he said, I ran out of Tootsie Rolls. Mr. Harlow, what are you talking about? You ran out of Tootsie Rolls. He says, well, open the door and I'm giving them Tootsie Rolls today. Made me want to go back to elementary school. But he brightened the world where he was. And each and every one of us, we can do the exact same thing. Terry's picked the invitation song this evening. If you haven't, if you bought Satan's lies and you haven't bought God's truth, you want to put God's truth on your body, put on the full armor of God to become a Christian, to wash yourselves in the blood of Christ so that your sins will be washed away. If you want to buy God's truth tonight, or if you need the prayers of the church, whatever your need may be, please make it known while together we stand and while we sing.